your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter. That's where we'll begin our study. If you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that has been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. In Luke chapter 2, begin with me at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. At this time of the year, we hear so much about the birth of Jesus. And there's so much we hear about the birth of Christ that is completely foreign to the record that the Bible says. There's a lot of things that people have on their mind, and it's completely foreign to the record of His birth. I'm confident that if the Lord wanted us to celebrate His birthday, He would have revealed the date in His teaching. But there's no exact date of that event. However, at this time, what I want us to do is examine that Jesus went to the manger, was born and laid in the manger, but that He left that manger. And there are many great works He did for the salvation of mankind. If you have your Bible this morning, notice with me in the book of Luke and the second chapter that the birth of Christ is of the utmost importance. Now, we do not know the exact date, and we need to be careful about that, but we need to be thankful that Jesus left glory of heaven and came down and was born and laid in the manger. I think about the words from the pen of Luke about the birth of Jesus, and one thing that touches my heart is the fact there was no room for Mary to have this child in a room. I feel sure there were some wealthy people in that day that in that city of Bethlehem that could have taken in such a one. But at this time, we find that there was no place for Mary to give birth to her child. So we find that Jesus is born in a stable or in a cave, most likely. And then He was laid in a manger. And this was something that when you look about, was prophesied about, that Jesus would come in the fullness of time. At the right time, God sent forth His Son to be born of the Virgin. And that is brought out in the Galatian letter and the fourth chapter and in verse 4. And I want you to recognize that in the manger is the one called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Remember, Jesus said to Philip, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And those are words that we need to let go over in our mind. God in the manger. But God cannot stay in the manger. It was true that He was laid in the manger, but one cannot leave Him there. He is not to remain a baby in the manger the rest of His life. Jesus grew, and in the Bible it says in the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter that He became grown and He became one that obeyed His father and mother. Look, if you will, in the book of Luke and the second chapter in verse 51. He went down with His parents and came to Nazareth and was subject to Him. But His mother kept all things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Notice that He grew up to become a man. And from the manger, I want you to think about Jesus living a life to set a perfect example for you and I. That when Jesus walked upon this earth, He kept the will of the Father. That He lived a life that was perfect in every way. He never committed one sin. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that He was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. I stand amazed when I look at the example Jesus left us in the life that He lived. But then I want you to think about from the manger to His life, and from His life to the cross. After seeing Him in the manger as a baby, we see Him grown up, and we see Him living a life that glorifies the Father. Then we see the life that He lived, the sinless life, and then we see where they put Him upon the cross. And sometimes I'm fearful that when we look at the cross today, it doesn't touch our hearts like it should. That we've kind of let it become old to us. And I want to tell you something, my beloved friend. Anytime we read about the cross and it doesn't touch our heart, there's something wrong with our heart. When we stop and think about the fact that Jesus was there to redeem us from our sins, He was there to die in our place, He was there to take away our sin, that should move us. That should touch us. And I'll tell you something, my friend, that when I read the divine revelation, every time I read the gospel accounts of Jesus' crucifixion, I am minded of the fact I deserve a cross because I am a sinner. Jesus deserved no such condemnation because He committed no sin. And yet He was willing to take the sin of you and I and bear it, as Isaiah 53 said. He carried our sins, our griefs, our trials with Him to the cross of Calvary. You've often thought about the cross was so heavy because of the wood that He was carrying and because He'd been scourged before He carried the wood. I'll tell you what made the cross so heavy was our sin was on Him. He was bearing the sin of man. When was the last time we stopped and examined the cross? I hope when we partook of the Lord's Supper, our mind was upon the cross. But then don't stop there. From the cross, we see His resurrection. We saw Him in the manger. We saw Him live the sinless life. We see Him on the cross. And now we see this one that was a baby in the manger coming out of the grave. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of John and the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 10th chapter, notice what Jesus had to say. In John chapter 10, beginning at verse 27. In verse 27, He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Now then, notice that Jesus is going to lay down His life. He says in chapter 10 and verse 17, "My Father loves Me because I lay down My life that I may take it again. No one takes My life from Me, but I lay it down of Myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from the Father." He said, "I'm going to lay down My life. No one's going to take it from Me." Why? No one can kill God. So Jesus said, "I give My life for My sheep, for My disciples." And from there, what happens after He dies? He doesn't stay in the tomb. He's raised from the grave. And they saw Him with their own eyes. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 20th chapter, you'll find that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And what is said in the book of John in the 20th chapter? Look, if you will, at what Thomas said in verse 27. In John chapter 20 and verse 27, when Thomas said, "I won't believe unless I can put My finger in His side and I can touch the wounds." Look at what Jesus said. He said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at My hands, and reach your hand here and put it in My side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to Him, "My Lord and My God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you've seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know who that would be? That would include you and I. We didn't see the resurrected body of Jesus, but we believe with all our heart that He is raised, that He's not in that tomb in Jerusalem, that He's not buried in the tomb, that His body hasn't been decayed, but He's been raised by the power of God. Our faith hinges upon a resurrected Savior. Our faith is based upon an empty tomb. A tomb that is where Jesus' body had been raised by the power of God, as is taught in the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. So from the cross, we see Jesus laying down His life for His people. So who can be His people? Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, it's those that are in Him. Those who, like Him, have died to their sin and have been raised. Look in your Bible, if you will, in the Ephesian letter for just a moment and the second chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter, notice, if you will, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says to them in Ephesians chapter 2, he says in about verse 5, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together." Underscore that. Raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now take your Bible to the Roman letter and the sixth chapter. In the Roman letter and the sixth chapter, you'll find the Apostle Paul writing. And the Apostle Paul says, just like Jesus died and was raised, you also must die and be resurrected. How? Through baptism. We have been raised up to walk in newness of life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." We follow in the steps of Christ. Our old man is dead, we've been buried, and we've been raised. We now walk as Jesus does. We walk as His pattern. We follow His example. Our sins have been blotted out. We walk with a new purpose because we walk in newness of life. Look at verse 5. "For if we've been united together..." Remember that word in Ephesians 2, 6 was said twice. "If we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection." Knowing this. I like that. I don't have to guess about it. When I'm baptized, I know this. If I go down by faith, the old man was crucified with Him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We've been freed. And we're no longer slaves, but we're going to be sons by faith in Jesus Christ. But that brings up something else. Have you ever thought about the ascension of Jesus? Look, if you will, in the book of Acts in the first chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the first chapter, you remember that Jesus ascended back to heaven. In Acts chapter 1, they watched as Jesus ascended. And you remember that the angels talked to them. In verse 9, notice, "Now when He'd spoken these things, while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven.'" Now that gives me hope. Jesus was born. Jesus lived His life. He lived a sinless life, and He died as a sacrifice for my sins upon the cross. He was buried, and by the power of God, He was raised, and now He is at the right hand of God. And because of His ascension, you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15? He said that we need to keep an eye out for Jesus, that one day He'll come back and we'll be raised with Him. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about the second coming of Christ, that we'll be raised up to meet Him in the air. That His people, His sheep, His disciples will go home to heaven. And those who are not right with God, they'll be raised up and be cast into eternal damnation. And that is the teaching and the hope of the gospel, that we are His children. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. Look at the hope we have of following Jesus to heaven. In 1 John chapter 3, look verse 1 beginning. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. You think about the manner of love. Despite all of our sin, in spite of all of our rebellion, in spite of all that we've done wrong, God wants us to be His children. And what manner of love He showed in the giving of His Son upon the cross, that through the blood and through the sacrifice and through obedience, that we can be raised up and be called children of God. And He says, therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. May I say, my friend, if now we're children of God, we should act like it. If now we're the people of God, we need to let people see Christ in us. We've been raised up in newness of life. We no longer live the old life. Oh, we'll struggle and sin from time, and we'll get up and we'll repent, and we'll be sorrowful for our sin, and we'll ask God to forgive us. But that's the exception to the rule. That's not the rule of our life. The rule of our life is we follow God. And I love that. Now we are children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know. I love when the Bible says we know something. I don't have to guess at it. I don't have to sit back and wonder about it. I can have assurance of it. We know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall see Him face to face. You ever wondered what He looked like? You ever tried to picture Jesus? I remember when I was just a little fella, my grandmother had a picture that she thought was Jesus. And I remember looking at it and I thought, that's what He must look like. But none of us know what He looks like. But one day, if we're His children, we shall see Him face to face. And we'll be like Him. We'll have a body that won't grow old. We'll have a body that is a spiritual body that will live for eternity in heaven. And all the aches and pains we suffer, we won't suffer in heaven. And when I look at Jesus, I can see from the manger to the right hand of God that He did the Father's will to redeem man from sin. The birth of Christ is important year round. Because had He never left heaven, we would never have had a sacrifice. Had He not come down amongst His creation and lived amongst us, among our sin and our muck, and yet despise all the wrong we've done and our rebellion, He lived a sinless life and died for us, even when we were helpless and ungodly and enemies of His, He went to the cross for us. I'll tell you something. Every Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should see that as the greatest gift. For God so loved the world, He gave. That's a gift. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. God gives great gifts. And we need to think about those gifts, not just because someone said December 25th is a day to do it. We do it every day. Because we are thankful that God would send His Son to die in our place. This morning, have you thought about the fact He is the Son of God? And I want to know, do you have room for Him in your heart? Just where does He take place in your life? Because I'll tell you a second, He never takes second place. Don't make God just a part of your life. Make God the center of your life. And everything that you do revolves around God. And one day, by the grace of God, and by living and following His example, won't it be something to be in heaven together? Won't it be wonderful to be in the glory and presence of Christ for all eternity? And the reason we're there would be because Jesus came here to die for us. If you need to be obedient to the gospel,